الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا وطبيب نفوسنا وحبيب قلوبنا أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد
صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم، لا سيما بقية الله روحه وأرواح العالمين لتراب مقدمه الفدا. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين. يا ليتنا كنا معكم سادتي فنفوز فوزا عظيما. صلوات
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
Respected and dear brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum jami'an wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. وعظم الله اجورنا واجوركم بمصابنا بالحسين واولاد الحسين واصحاب الحسين عليهم السلام. May the Almighty God inshallah from his bounty accept this gathering and such gatherings, and inshallah reserve it for us as the provision of taqwa for a day to come that none of us will be alive and around anymore, and nothing would avail us other than what we have inshallah saved for our akhirah. The ayah that I have to share with you as the theme for inshallah the talk tonight, is it on the screen? Yes. First, let's read the ayah and inshallah I'll tell you what the story is all about. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. The ayah is in Surah Ash-Shura. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim.
Man kana.
You can look at the screen, even cheating is allowed here. Okay. Man kana.
Yuridu.
Harthal akhirah.
Nazid lahu.
Fiha.
ومن كان
يريد
حرث الدنيا
نؤته منها
وما له
في الآخرة
من نصيب.
صدق الله العلي العظيم. A quick translation: that the Almighty God makes a general universal law, and see that it says man, whosoever, meaning that male or female, whoever you may be, it's not limited to any particular person, whosoever yuridu harth al-akhirah, desires the cultivation of the hereafter. I'm not sure about the Danish translation because I cannot check that one, but the English one is my translation, and deliberately I try to be more precise than the normal translations. Normally the translations, and you tell me if the Danish translation on the screen is the same or not, the translator when it comes to harth, they say rewards. Is it rewards in Danish as well, or what is the word that this harth is translated in English? It is talking about the rewards, but there is a reason that the Almighty God in this ayah didn't say thawab. God could say man kana yuridu al-akhirah nazid lahu fi thawabaha. Why God didn't use the term thawab, which means rewards? This harth, literally it means cultivation. Harth means when you are planting something, and cultivation. That sometimes in English also we use the term husbandry for it. For like as Quran says, nisaakum harthun lakum, for reproduction and things like that. There is a reason, subhanAllah, there is a beauty in the use of this term that inshallah I want to explain to you. Basically, the quick translation is that Quran says, man kana yuridu harth al-akhirah, whoever desires. And this yurido, based on other ayat of the Quran that inshallah we learn today, man arada al-akhirata wa sa'a laha sa'yaha wa huwa mu'min fa ulaika lahumud darajat wal ula. This yurido, desires, wills, means that he puts it into action as well. Otherwise there's no desire, there's no real intention, there's no real will behind it. So whoever really truly wants the cultivation of the akhirah, meaning that he's working towards that, we multiply it for him. But whoever his whole intention and motivation and attention is for this dunya, we give part of it to him as well. وَمَنْ أَرَادَ الْحَرْثَ الدُّنْيَا نُؤْتِهِ مِنْهَا. This men here is لَتَبْعِيدٌ. And some of his wishes in dunya will be met. Still not all of them. Because of the conflict of interest, it's impossible for God to give you all your wishes. Because it will be against my wishes as well. So part of your wish, part of my wish in this dunya will be met. But remember, وَمَا لَهُ فِي الْآخِرَةِ مِنْ نَصِيبٍ. In the hereafter, there is nothing for him. Because he just gave all his life for dunya. All what he wanted to achieve was for dunya, nothing for akhirah. Denmark is well known and is a world famous country for agriculture and food products. If you are really truly Danish, you should have a green finger, as we say it in English, meaning that garden, you should be good gardeners, farmers. I was told that Danish farmers, they produce an amount of food that can supply easily 3 times of their population. Over 15 million people every year they can feed. With the food that they produce in small country of Denmark. Tonight we want to do a bit of a studying, and I want to share with you something about agriculture, because agriculture is very famous in Denmark. Speaking with the Danish people, it's not easy, of course. I have, inshallah, to share with you some laws related to agriculture and cultivation. But agriculture and cultivation that I'm talking about, you will appreciate by the end of the talk tonight that not many Danish farmers are aware of, I assume. And we want to make sure that we are aware of these laws of cultivation. From the Islamic perspective, brothers and sisters, please remember that Quran, the Prophet, Islam, perceives the whole life of dunya as mazra'ah. Ad-dunya mazra'atul akhirah. This dunya is the yield, is the tilth, is the farm for the hereafter. We have no business in this dunya, as far as Islam is concerned, other than being farmers in this dunya. And there is no any other business you can do in this dunya other than being farmers. Farmers, in the Islamic sense of it means that every day, like today that the sun set, and tonight before the sun rises for tomorrow, no matter what you do, what we say, we are cultivating, we are sowing, we are planting, and we are going to reap it in the hereafter. So whatever you sow in this dunya, we want to learn, you will be reaping in the hereafter. This is the story for tonight, inshallah. What one sows is what one reaps. A man came to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, Ya Rasulullah, izni. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى محمد. Ya Rasulullah, advise me. The Prophet says, watch your tongue. Your tongue, watch it. Watch what you say. The man says, and then the Prophet says, watch your tongue. The man says, Ya Rasulullah, give me something very profound, philosophical, mystical, irfani, or something. Haniki. I've heard about this, watching the tongue. The Prophet says, watch your tongue, that's what you need. وَهَلْ يَكُبُّ النَّاسَ عَلَىٰ مَنَاخِرِهِمْ فِي النَّارِ إِلَّا حَصَائِدُ أَلْسِنَتِهِمْ. Is anything other than the harvest? I'm sharing this hadith with you to see that how the Prophet perceives our actions as the harvest of, like, what we do and what we are going to reap in the hereafter. All what we gain in the hereafter are the harvest of what we have sown in this dunya, what we have planted in this dunya. The Prophet says that is anything other than the harvest of our tongues is going to put us on face to hell? In other words, if on the day of judgment I'm thrown on face to hellfire, is because of my tongue. if I've been spiteful with my tongue, that my friends, they always try to distance me and they say that, look, this man always is there sarcastic, or he's really very, he's not sweet in the way that he converses. And I'm taking you, you appreciate brothers and sisters, and I've mentioned this before, I'd like to repeat again quickly that because we have a mixed gathering, it's a public general gathering, I'm taking you to the grassroots of all our problems, to the best of my knowledge. You need to really find the applications of all these principles. As a husband, as the father of my children, to take the application of these principles, when I go home, the way that I talk to my wife, I should remember it matters. I am producing my reality for my life after death. Before I harm her, I'm harming myself. Before I upset anyone, I'm upsetting myself. Okay? So there are so many applications in these rules that we learn. Let's go through some laws of agriculture and cultivation, inshallah, tonight, according to the Islamic teachings based on the ayat and the riwayat. The first law of cultivation, agriculture, is that remember that unless you plant something, there is no harvest, obviously. I'm talking common sense. Unless you plant, unless you sow, you're not going to reap anything. Even if you have the biggest farm in Denmark, but you leave it barren and you don't plant anything, can you expect anything? Obviously not. Likewise, Quran says that أَلَّيْسَ لِلْإِنسَانِ إِلَّا مَا سَعَى وَأَنَّ سَعْيَهُ سَوْفَ يَرَى. Lo and behold, remember this. Don't come to me on the day of judgment empty-handed. You haven't brought anything to your akhirah and you're expecting a lot. And laysa lil insan, there's absolutely nothing for mankind unless what you have a struggle for it. Subhanallah, the term sa'a is more than action. It means struggling for something. That means if you struggle for your achievement, for your spiritual achievement, you are going through some turmoil, some hardship in your life. For the sake of God, you bear with it, you endure patience. This is called sa'y. The hardship for the sake of your religion. Yes, it is not easy, that especially for some girls or guys at work, a kind of incorporate business, every now and then somebody comes and she wants to shake hand with you, or he wants to shake hand with you. And such a common culture, what am I supposed to do? Once I was saying to the brothers and sisters that shaking hand in Islam is not allowed, someone says, Ya Sheikh, speak about hugging. He just comes and he wants to hug me. You are talking about shaking hand. In this culture, that business meeting, lunch business, and alcohol is served. Alcohol is an essential ingredient of the Western life. And you avoid it. You avoid the meeting that there is alcohol. You avoid the tablecloth that there is an alcohol on it. This is called sa'i. This is called a struggle. Is it come? Is it go? If you just put the condition that you are in and it sounds difficult, if you are truly and really put that condition with eternity in hell, bliss in hell, then it becomes very easy. It sounds difficult because we don't see the reward of it. I don't see that you avoided one shaking hand, you avoided alcoholic business meeting. Quran says you planted something for your akhirah. You attended it, also you planted something for your akhirah. And I will share the ayat riwayat inshallah with you tonight as much as my time allows, that you will be enjoying them or you suffer from them. Second law of cultivation in Islam. The second law of cultivation is that if you want to really have good harvest, good crops, you need to have a good land as well. That in English we call it tilth. Tilth is a land that husbandry or plowing things done to it. Like if you take your seeds, the best grains that you have, if you take it, and I give you the example from the Quran inshallah soon, you want to plant it in a desert, you don't get anything because the land is not suitable for cultivation. You need proper land. What is land? This land in Islam is iman. So Quran says that unless you have faith and iman, you're wasting your time. There's nothing for you in the hereafter. Because atheists, they don't believe in the hereafter. It's funny that when you mention this, you said, how come that your God is so cruel that how come if I do something good, I don't go to paradise? I said, and since when do you believe in paradise? Make up your mind. Do you believe in God and life after death and hell and heaven? If you do, yes, you are, it applies to you. If you don't, to you after death is nothing else. So why do companies, subhanAllah, sometimes they don't realize that unconsciously they desire for paradise. Alright? Quran says that يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تُبْطِلُوا صَدَقَاتِكُمْ بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى كَالَّذِي يُنْفِقُوا رِعَاءَ النَّاسِ. Don't, when you give a charity, don't void it, don't destroy it, don't spoil your seeds, your grains. بِالْمَنِّ وَالْأَذَى, by giving, like showing favor. A friend of you asks you to do something for him or for her, you've done it, but you always remember what I did for you? You remember what I did? Come on, man. This is called favor. Show, like he's always showing off, showing that you've done that favor to him. You spoiled it. The rewards that was for you, you spoiled it. Or well, other worse than that is that you go and help them, but you keep blaming them. Couldn't you do it yourself? Did I really have to give you this leave? Couldn't? Come on. Either you come and do it nicely, or you don't need to just rub it on my face time and again. This is called other. You know, annoying. You're really annoying him. You're really making him feel so bad that he has called you. Don't do that. Quran says, if you do this, your example will be the likeness of كَالَّذِي يُنْفِقُ مَا لَهُ رَآءَ النَّاسِ, like the one that is giving something, but to show off. For the sake, he's showing off. There is nothing for him. وَلَا يُؤْمِنُ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ. He doesn't believe in God. He doesn't believe in the life after death. Because a believer that believes in God, he knows that the more secret, the more rewarding it is. Then Quran says that if that's the case, then remember, those who don't believe in God and the hereafter, yes, apparently they have given a charity for show off, for fame, to be a celebrity, to be like announced and like become famous. I don't want to mention anyone or anything, but God knows those who don't believe in the hereafter, sometimes they give and everywhere they talk about it and they like the names to be announced. If you don't mention the name, he comes and calls, brother, why don't you mention my name? I also gave charity for the mosque. How? You gave it for the sake of God. Why do you care if your name is announced or not? Quran says, فَمَثَلُهُ كَمَثَلِ, the likeness of this person is like the likeness of someone that is planting on a piece of rock. Imagine this example. In your like balcony, piece of rock or tiles, dust of like a bit of dust on it only, and you take your grains, your seeds, and you want to plant there. How silly it is. فَأَصَابَهُ وَابِلٌ فَتَرَكَهُ صَلْدًا. Quran says that a heavy rain comes, not only your grains and your seeds will be washed away, even the dust will be washed away. فَتَرَكَهُ صَلْدًا, he will be left with nothing. لا يقدرون على شيء مما كسبوا. Quran says that, and there's nothing for them. On the day of judgment, he comes and says that, I give so much donation. God says, which donation? There's nothing for you. Do you know why there's nothing? Because that tilth, that field was missing. That tilth and field was the field of iman. So alhamdulillah ala ni'mat al-iman. You have that ground for all the good deeds that you do. Because you have the iman, you make sure that you plant it on the field of iman. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
The third law of cultivation in Islam, is that when you choose a seed, when you go shopping and you want to do some, you know, plant something in your backyard, don't be stingy. Go and buy the best. If you really want to have a good apple tree in your backyard, make sure that you go buy the best. Quran also confirms this for your cultivation, for your akhirah. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا أَنْفِقُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ. Because you want to give it for the sake of God, make sure you give the best. Not that whatever is in your garage, you want to empty your garage and you give all the rubbish furniture, all the ruined furniture for the sake of God. هدية إلى مسجد إمام علي عليه السلام. يعني, would you keep this furniture for yourself? أنفقوا من طيبات ما رزقناكم. Give the best of what we have given you, because you are giving it to the best. You are giving for the best cause, for the sake of God. Some years ago, when we were building our center in Sydney, a lady, she had sent the furniture, her sofa and her lounge to the center. Once the truck came and looked at it, I said, send it back to her. And I called her and said, that sister, with all respect, sorry, we don't take second-hand furniture here. You can call the David Jones, tell them to deliver what you want to buy for yourself and keep yourself this sofa for yourself. This is for the house of God. What is this that you are giving? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in his ascension, in his mi'raj, he saw some rotten food and like his shabby clothes and said, Ya Rab, what are these? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya Rasul, my messenger, these are the donations that your community had given for the sake of God. Anything they didn't want, they didn't know what to do with it, they said, okay, malish, we take it to the mosque. We give it for the sake of God. أَنْفِقُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ. If I really truly know that I'm cultivating for my akhirah, I don't want something rotten for my akhirah. I give the best thing for my akhirah. That's why you see Imam Ali alayhi salam goes to the bazaar, buys two shirts with his servant, with his servant. Okay? He goes to the bazaar, he buys the more expensive one for his servant and the cheaper one for himself. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Would you do that? Would I do that? And when he complained that, Ya Amir al-Mu'mineen, no, I can't buy this one. I'm happy. I can't wear this one. I'm happy. The Imam says, no, you are young. That's okay. I can manage with this. I don't care, you know, about the brand and all these things. I know you are young and I want to buy something for you that you like it. And I buy something for myself that I like it. I'm happy with that. And you can keep that one to yourself. So the third law of cultivation, if you want to give something for the sake of God, because you are giving, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never reach the stage of piety and righteousness unless you give what you like. And tonight you will see that Imam Hussein alayhi salam gave all what he liked. Not that he didn't like his Ali al-Akbar, not that he didn't like his children. In fact, because he loved them, he gave them for the sake of God. This is called sacrifice. What else? The fourth law of cultivation, again, very obvious. And that is, you reap what you sow. If you are planting, let's say, wheat, you are not going to cultivate and you are not going to reap barley. Good, bad, whatever. This is very obvious. I don't think I need to explain and elaborate on this much. So whatever that you do, my friend here, expect it to come back to you in the hereafter, accordingly. The fifth law, you keep the count of it in case I make a mistake. The fifth law of cultivation, according to the Islamic teachings, is that if you are a good farmer, it's not good enough that you have planted your seeds. You have to maintain it as well. It's easy to get married. I always tell the young couples after they've solemnized their marriage, I tell them that it's not difficult to get married and exchange the vows. What is difficult is to maintain your marriage. Lifetime maintenance. Did I tell you that young boy, he was asking his grandpa, that grandpa, how come that you've been grandmother for the last 55 years? Half a century you've been living together, man. Aren't you bored of each other? And the grandfather says that, sweetheart, it's because I belong to an age that when there was a problem with something, we would repair it, we would not replace it. You belong to an age of replacement. He thinks that his wife is, astaghfirullah, another girlfriend, just change it. Or she thinks that her husband is another boyfriend, change it. Fix your problem, try, endeavor. I'm not saying always is fixable, but endeavor to fix the problem. Anyway. A good farmer is the one who maintains the land. How? You have to spray it against all the plagues to make sure that no plague that we are talking about in the Islamic sense, we are talking mainly, remember, when it comes to worshipping acts, we are talking about ria, that means show off, and we are talking about sinning. Because subhanAllah, brothers and sisters, I cannot emphasize enough what sinning does to our souls. Sins really kill our souls, destroy our souls. Here is the ayah in the Quran, so many examples. An example of that, A'udhu billah min ash-shaytan ar-rajim. Man ya'tihi mujriman فَإِنَّ لَهُ جَهَنَّمَ لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى. Quran says, remember this ayah. مَنْ يَأْتِهِ مُجْرِمًا. Whoever dies, comes to the hereafter, مُجْرِمًا, sinful. فَإِنَّ لَهُ جَهَنَّمَ. Your accommodation will be in hell. لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى. The problem is that he doesn't die. Some people, they say, okay, if hell is really like that, never mind. They throw me to hell, it's 1 second, microsecond, and I'm just melted, finished. No, Quran says, لَا يَمُوتُ فِيهَا وَلَا يَحْيَى. Skins burn and come back again. Burn and come back again. SubhanAllah, constantly. We cannot imagine hellfire. Read Dua Kumail and see how Imam Ali alayhi salam, like really someone who is in severe pain, how he is weeping, crying. Really, when you see that part of Dua Kumail, really you feel that like Imam Hussein is in pain of the burn of the hell. That's how he's wailing. We are just talking about hell and heaven. So remember that if I leave this dunya mujriman, sinful, then I'm going to be hellbound. At least in barzakh. Let me be frank with you. Even if I die as a mu'min, Shi'a, the lover of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, on the great day of judgment, you inshallah will be interceded by us and will go to eternal paradise. But I'm concerned about your life in barzakh. I'm concerned about that. Because that one, you have to go through the process of purification. You fail to purify yourself in dunya, you shall be purified in barzakh before you come to the great day of judgment. وَمَنْ يَأْتِهِ مُؤْمِنًا قَدْ عَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ لَهُمُ الدَّرَجَاتُ الْعُلَىٰ. Again, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, in return, whoever comes to me upon his death or upon her death, قَدْ عَمِلَ الصَّالِحَاتِ. Alhamdulillah, finished his life or her life with good deeds. For them will be darajatul ula, elevated status in paradise will be for such people. So the conclusion is that sinning can destroy our souls, can make us hellbound. Unless, I have to mention this, so no matter how sinful I may be, unless I repented before I die, everything will be fine. If I truly and really repented from my past life, no matter what I had done, let me share this hadith with you. A group of eight thieves were arrested at the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam. They brought them to the justice. They confessed that they had stolen things and the Islamic law had to be executed on them. They lost their fingers. Eight thieves. Imam Ali alayhi salam tells them that now the law of punishment, the criminal law of Islam has been executed on you. You lost your fingers. Your fingers are temporarily in hell now because of what you did with them. Not only this law is not applied on you, you have to repent. If you repent, you will be in paradise because of your repentance and your fingers will join you in paradise. If you don't repent and keep going, you are going to join your fingers in hell. So any kind of sin that I might have done in my past life, وَجَلَّ مَنْ لَا يُخْطِي. None of us are infallible, and I'm not implying that you need to be infallible. Some brothers and sisters say that, Sheikh, you speak as if you have to be infallible. No, my friend, it's not about infallibility. It's about deliberately, intentionally, غَضْبًا عَنْهُ, as if, as we say in English, I don't care about what God says, and I'm sinning. One may sleep, astaghfirullah, forgive me to give this example, one may sleep and committed adultery. After that, change his or her lifestyle and moved on with that. عَفَلَّهُ عَمَّا سَلَفْ. God forgives the past. إِنَّ اللَّهِ يَغْفِرُ الظُّنُوبَ جَمِيعًا. No matter what it is, will be forgiven. Don't even think about it. Don't ever talk about it. Move on. And the repentance of adultery, the Prophet says, is marriage. something haram had happened, you do something good. The repentance of stealing the money is give charity. Every action has its own repentance. A Christian came to the Prophet and said, Ya Rasulallah, I repented. The Prophet, and I think I had mentioned this to you. I've been praying and fasting. The Prophet says that, no, your repentance is not accepted yet. The repentance of a magician is to neutralize the magics on others. You know the tricks, neutralize it. So every action has its own repentance accordingly. But once you sincerely repented between you and God, move on with your life. And don't worry about the past. That's what the repentance is. فَأُولَكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِ وَحَسَنَاتِ God converts your bad, evil deeds into good deeds. Okay? But if I fail to repent, and when is it that we fail to repent? Number one, if I justify my sins. Unfortunately, two kinds of people, they sin. One feels so bad. Two girls without the hijab, one feels bad, and she says that my circumstances don't allow me to practice it, but I'm not proud of what I'm doing. Or this guy is into a sin that he says that I'm not proud of this masturbation or this lustful look or adultery, but I hope that I give it up, and I'm really trying my very best to change my lifestyle. Another one doesn't care and justifies it. And just the moment that we start justifying a sin, we have blocked the chance of repentance to ourselves. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad. Another law of cultivation is that don't eat all your grains. Every year farmers, they harvest, and like whatever, let's say that the wheat, barley, or anything that you have harvested, don't stack them all to eat it or sell it. Keep some for yourself, because for next year you have to again plant them. They keep it and with water or things so that they use it as seeds later on. Quran says, وَابْتَغِي سُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ Allahu Akbar. Really, when I come across this ayat and I compare it with how we live our lives, sometimes I really feel that we are on a wrong direction. Opposite, not wrong direction, opposite direction. Listen to this ayah. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وابتغ فيما آتاك الله الدار الآخرة ولا تنس نصيبك من الدنيا. Translation: whatever that God has provided you with, knowledge, wealth, time, anything, expertise, that you can share it for the sake of God. You can help your community for the sake of God. This is what God has gifted you with. And everyone is gifted. Don't say, I don't have anything to give. Impossible. Impossible. Time is money. If you don't have money, you must have time. Otherwise, what are you doing with your time? Okay? Quran says that what we have gifted you with, وَابْتَغِ فِي مَا آتَاكَ اللَّهُ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ Invest it first and foremost, cultivate it for your akhirah. Yes, وَلَا تَنْسَ نَصِيبَكَ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا Don't forget the portion of it to give it for dunya. In other words, give the majority of your time, your wealth, your gifts, the opportunities that you have. Your first intention should be, I want to invest for my akhirah. I want to work for my akhirah. Yes, at the same time, I have my dunya as well. I can't starve. I have to feed myself. I have to look after my family as well. So priority goes to my after death life. But at the same time, don't forget about your dunya. How do we live our lives? At best, normally the other way around. Sayyid ibn Tawus, rahmatullah alayhi, it's not an obligation. Please, it's not like a duty for all of us. But I tell you that there are people like this. For you and I, as long as we give 20% of our saving, we have done our job. Sayyid ibn Tawus was doing the other way around. He was giving 80% of the saving, keeping 20% for himself. Because this man gives priority to his akhirah. Quran says, مَا عِنْدَكُمْ يَنْفَدْ وَمَا عِنْدَ اللَّهِ بَاقْ Habibi, whatever that you have saved, you lost it. Whatever that you spend and gave for the sake of God, you saved it. Saving of the hereafter, eternal saving. This is again another law of cultivation. If I'm really conscious that I'm a farmer every day and I want to plant, alhamdulillah, now that I can afford it, give more. Whatever that you have, take advantage of that opportunity because it doesn't always stay there for you. Spend it for your akhirah. A mu'min's mind is always in the hereafter. Whatever he or she does, he's thinking of life after death. Sallu ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Maybe the last one, I have written more, but the last one for the time being that I share with you is the most important one, inshallah. I hope I have your attention. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says for the last condition of cultivation. I had mentioned that before. I want to share with you some examples. And I kept writing the ayat, and more ayat was coming, and I didn't have time. I said, I don't want to bombard you with so many references, but you have so many references in the Quran that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, you will enjoy or suffer from what you had sent yourself. In other words, if I have committed a sin, if your husband commits a sin, on the day of judgment, they don't hold you responsible. Likewise, you commit a sin, she commits a sin, astaghfirullah, they don't hold you responsible. Yes, the duty of enjoining good, forbidding evil, and amr ba'anuf, nahi al munkar is there. But la tazaru waziratun wazra ukhra, everyone will be at the tablecloth that he or she has made for himself. Man amila salihan fali anfusihim yamhadun. Mahd in Arabic, it means cradle. That in the old days they used to baby and like rocking the, you know, the cradle. This is called al-mahd. Quran says, man amila salihan. Whoever does anything good, he's making his bed in paradise. You want to make your bed in paradise? A good deed that you have done in dunya is like you are making your bed. Yani you are making a comfortable place for yourself in paradise. What else? وَلَكُلِّنْ دَرَجَاتٌ مِمَّا عَمِلُوا. For every single one of us, Ya Rab, inshaAllah, درجاتٌ, stages, levels. From where they get those levels, like you are living on floors 10th, 7th, 12th, God knows when. Different people in different levels in paradise. مِمَّا عَمِلُوا, from what they had done. Subhanallah. So my action, inshallah, your good deeds will make your floor in paradise, the level that you will be in paradise. One of our very close relatives, and these two people that I'm talking about, both of them have passed away, rahmatullah alayhim, a husband and wife. Her husband was a very eminent scholar, very eminent and pious scholar, rahmatullah alayhim, very irfani scholar as well. His wife also a pious woman, but an ordinary lady, but a pious lady. One of the grandchildren had seen her grandmother in the dream after she passed away, and she asked her that, Grandma, how are you? How's life after this? How are you living? And she was fine. And then she says, and how is the grandpa? She goes, your grandfather, I don't see him. He is like, how do you see the stars in the sky? That's where he is. I cannot reach where he is. I have no idea where he is. In dunya, Fir'aun and Asiya used to live together as husband and wife. In a paradise, in akhirah, two distant destinations. Okay? وَلِكُلِّنْ دَرَجَاتُ مِمَّا عَمِلُوا. Your level in paradise. Decide, my friend, where you want to be. If you want to be ambitious, if you are greedy, it's good to put your greeds for your akhirah. That you never be content. You say that, no, I'm never content. Subhanallah, now you see why Imam Ali alayhi salam used to dig wells, make bear, water is gushing out, right? Hada waqfun, this is an endowment for this. He kept praying, spending his night time for praying. I said, Ya Ali, how much do you pray? He said that only if I knew which one is accepted. Because he knows that what he is doing, he is building his paradise, he's building his status in paradise. More example. Allahu Akbar. Few more and inshallah I'll finish it here. Pay attention to this. In Surah Al-Insan, what a beautiful ayat. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم إن الأبرار يشربون من كأس كان مزاجها كافورا. The righteous people in paradise, they will be served of a drink that its taste is camphor. You know the tree camphor, kafur, that the, for the scent of it, they give it to, like they apply it on the body of a mayyit. Kana mizajuha kafura. Aynan yashrabu biha ibadullah yufajjirunaha tafjira. Let's review this ayah again, the meaning of it. Check the translations if they discover this very basic point that I'm sharing with you. Aynan yashrabu biha ibadullah. Quran says that I'm talking to you about the spring waters gushing out in paradise. Who is causing it to gush out? Is it just gushing out on its own? يُفَجِّرُونَهُ يُفَجِّرُونَ يعني making it, causing it to gush out, to come out. يُفَجِّرُونَ يعني عباد الله. See, let me read. If you have a bit of Arabic background, you enjoy this more. عَيْنًا يَشْرَبُ بِهَا عِبَادُ اللَّهِ. Spring waters that slaves of God, they drink from it. يُفَجِّرُونَهَا يعني عباد الله يُفَجِّرُونَهَا تَفْجِيرًا مفعول المطلق. A kind of gushing out. In other words, if you see that Ibadullah, the slaves of God, the pious, righteous people in paradise, they enjoy that the spring water, is because they have made it themselves, for themselves. قَوَارِيرَ مِنْ فِضَّةٍ قَدَّرُوهَا تَقْدِيرًا. And then God says, and I'm also explaining to you, no matter how well it's explained, unless, inshallah, you enjoy it, you don't know what the bliss in paradise is. Quran says, قَوَارِيرَ مِنْ فِضَّةٍ, crystal clear cups in which you'll be served. The size of the cup, how big or small? قَدَّرُوهَا, again, Arabic background people, they pay attention. قَدَّرُوهَا تَقْدِيرًا, they measure it themselves. Yani, depending on the sincerity of your action, depending on your dedication, you are measuring the cup, the size of your cup in paradise. Subhanallah, do you see? قَدَّرُ, this is called the law of cultivation. What you are sowing here, you are going to harvest in the hereafter. But I want, like someone very thirsty, God, I want to be, and we are talking about a dream that you want to give all your life. You see your friend, wow, what is... And the Prophet says that I'm having from a cup, let me take you to the source of it now. Really, I'm just trying to control the information in my mind, take you to the source of it. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam is saying that's the last, inshallah. With this, I want to finish. Ya Rab, urzughna. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us to taste it, inshallah. May the time come that all of us, we meet each other, inshallah, in paradise. And you say that, Sheikh, you are right. This kawthar that you are talking about, Allahu Akbar, what is this al-kawthar? The spring water that is coming from the palace of Fatima al-Zahra, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ahlul Bayt alayhi wa sallam. A man came to Imam Sadiq and said, Ya Rasulallah, what is khair? That when we do something good to someone, says, Jazakallah khaira. Imam Sadiq says, khair is the name, al-khair, good, literally means goodness. Good is the name of a river in paradise that stems from Al-Kawthar. Anytime you do something good and your friend says, Jazakallah khaira, may God grant you khair, that means that may God grant you a branch of that river of khair that is coming from Kawthar to come to your paradise. Do you want it or you don't want it? Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says to Musma' ibn Abdul Malik Kurdin, one of his companions, Ya Musma', do you know which month we are in? He says, yes, Yabna Rasulallah, I know we are in the month of mourning, Muharram al-Haram. The Imam says, and do you cry for Abu Abdullah al-Hussein? He says, yes, wallah, sometimes at home even, with my family I'm sitting, and I read majlis, and I'm in tears, that even I cannot eat, so much I get grieved. And the Imam says, may God associate you and resurrect you among Ahl al-Jaza'i ala al-Husayn. May God resurrect you, us, all of us brothers and sisters, on the day of judgment among those who be mourning and crying for Abu Abdullah al-Husayn. And the Imam says that even if your eyelashes get wet in the majlis of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, even if your heart feels for Imam Hussein when you hear the tragedy of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam, you will be resurrected among those who have held the majlis for Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And then the Imam, this is the last part, and then the Imam says, ma min 'aynin bakat lana no eye, male, female, Muslim, non-Muslim, any eye that shed tears for us, إِلَّا نُعِمَتْ بِالنَّظَرِ إِلَى الْكَوْثَرِ وَالسُّقِيَتْ مِنْ. Unless on the day of judgment, those people, they deserve to see the beauty of Al-Kawthar, that river that is coming from the household of the Prophet, the palace of the household of the Prophet. وَالسُّقِيَتْ مِنْ. And you will be given from that river to drink from that river. رزقنا الله وإياكم إن شاء الله. صلوا على محمد وعلى محمد. صلى الله عليك يا أبا عبد الله. السلام على علي الأكبر. Tonight, we want to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in honor and respect of the one that, according to some riwayat, that had it been that he survived the tragedy of Karbala, he would have been the next Imam. In Ziyarat Ashura, when we say Assalamu ala al-Husayn wa ala Ali ibn al-Husayn, that we say after the visitation of Imam Hussein, Ali ibn al-Husayn, it means Ali al-Akbar. You think about the status of Ali al-Akbar. The status of Ali al-Akbar suffices to mention this, that Imam al-Hujja ajjalallahu farajahu al-Sharif, in his ziyarah to Ali al-Akbar, his uncle, he is longing, he wishes and is longing to be associated with Ali al-Akbar in paradise. This is Ali al-Akbar. Two figures in Karbala after Imam Hussein alayhi salam were the most important one. Abba Abba al-Fadl al-Abbas, that tomorrow night inshallah we will talk about him, and Ali al-Akbar, the hero of tonight. In terms of his age, most likely he was towards the end of his 20s and he was married with children. The oldest son of Imam Hussein, and hence Ali al-Akbar, the oldest Ali. You heard from me, unlike the companions and even the youth of Bani Hashim, that everyone comes to Imam Hussein alayhi salam seeking permission. Initially, Imam is hesitant to give permission. Subhanallah, exceptionally for Ali al-Akbar, they have written, "Ista'dhana Aba fa'adhina lah." Sought permission on the day of Ashura from his father to go and fight, and immediately the permission was released. Imam was not hesitant because he knows his son, and also because لَن تَنَالُ الْبِرَّ, as I said, لَن تَنَالُ الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُونَ. Because he loves him most, he wants to give him for the sake of God. Because this is Ali al-Akbar, his oldest son. Ali Akbar jumped on his horse and he's attacking the enemy. Subhanallah. You imagine this young man really was the hero in Karbala. He presented such a bravery war. Everywhere he goes, he's just killing them left and right. After a bit of fighting, he came back. Naturally, the body gets tired, fit and exhausted and thirsty. This is a story of thirst. There is a secret, I suppose, is behind it. It's not just a physical thirst. Because obviously Ali al-Akbar, he knows there is no water in the tents. He knows that his father has no water to supply. Then why is it that historians say that Ali Akbar, after a bit of fighting, he returned to his father and says, Ya Abata, hal min sharbatin ataqawwa biha ala al-a'da. That, is there any sip of water to get the strength against the enemies? Perhaps the thirst that they express and the water that they were longing, if you want to have a mystical approach, they were thirsty for their life in the hereafter. Because the night before, on the night of Ashura, Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam, once he was sure that they were certain and they were serious, he showed them their status in paradise. You and I also, if we really see where we are going to go after our death, who doesn't want to go? You'll be longing for death as well. And Ali Akbar, such a hero of Karbala, he's fighting On the one hand, he wants to get rid of the enemies. On the other hand, he looks at the status. He sees the messenger of God awaiting him with kind of a water from Kothar, as I was talking about, that quenches his thirst forever. His mortality is going to expire. His mortality is going to end soon. Who doesn't want this? Who doesn't want to live eternal? And that's why when he comes, but because it's a secret conversation, they have mentioned that Abu Abdullah al-Hussein alayhi salam put his ring on his lips. It's again another expression. In the old days, when they wanted to seal a letter, they used to seal it with a ring. Like Imam Hussein is putting the ring on his lips, he said, "My son, don't spell out the secrets. Strangers may know what kind of water you're after. Go back, it won't be long. Go back fighting, it won't be long." And subhanAllah, proving that is what is quoted from Ali al-Asghar. He keeps fighting until all of the sudden, Ali Akbar was also hit from every corner. Ali, none of the soldiers of Karbala, none of the heroes of Karbala lost the battle in a duel, one by one. They attacked them eventually from every corner. That's how they could really kill them. Otherwise, impossible to get their hands on them. Until Ali Akbar, Salamullah Alayhi, also was killed. And he cries loud and says, "Ya Abata, هذا جدي رسول الله يغرقك السلام." That here is my grandfather standing here with a cup of water, but not the worldly water. He is giving his greetings to you, يغرقك السلام. And he has brought for me a drink. لا ظمأ بعد. There is no thirst after this moment anymore. And Ali Akbar left this dunya by the time Imam Hussein alayhi salam reaches the body of his son. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Look at the grudges they had against the children of Imam Hussein and against Imam Hussein that historians have mentioned. Although Ali Akbar had died, but still they attacked these hungry wolves. They attacked the dead body of Ali Akbar. فَقَطَعُوا بِسُيُوفِهِمْ أَرْبَالٍ. They mutilated and severed and cut the body of Ali Akbar into pieces. So much so that Abu Abdullah wants to carry the body of his son to the back, and he's unable to hold the body because the body is cut into pieces. عَلَى لَعْنَةُ اللَّهِ عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الظَّالِمِينَ. وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. صلوات.